Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lucinda's Defender by Blossom Turner, narrated by Connie Shabshab. Chapter 1, April 1874, Shenandoah Valley.
Please, Jeanette, don't tell Ma and Pa. He's harmless.
Harmless, and hers. The best-looking man in town was showing her attention, and Lucinda Williams intended to be the woman who wore his ring. Her stomach twisted into a knot. She had to make her sister understand, or her budding romance would be over before it began.
After what I just witnessed,
Jeanette planted her hands firmly on her hips.
I would be doing you a great disservice to remain silent.
Why do you have to be such a fuddy-duddy? You act like you're 41, not 21.
Jeanette's chin lifted and set, not a good sign. Lucinda put on her sweetest voice.
Come on, Jeanette. What's a little kissing? Besides, I'm 16 now and perfectly capable of handling a little manly attention.
Jeanette's brows raised.
You two rolling around on the hay did not look like a little manly attention to me. A whole lot more than any respectable girl would allow.
Nothing happened.
Lucinda raked a hand through her long curly hair and pulled out a sprig of hay. She squared her shoulders.
Don't lie to me. What you two were up to is not appropriate until one is married.
Lucinda laughed.
What would you know? Have you even been kissed yet?
A blush washed across Jeanette's cheeks, and she pushed her horn-rimmed glasses further on her nose. Oh dear, when would she tame her big mouth? Unkind things so often just spewed out.
Ma and Pa have already told you Nathaniel is bad news, and I'm telling them what I saw for your own sake.
I knew it.
Lucinda could not stop a sarcastic laugh from slipping free.
You haven't even experienced the simple pleasure of a kiss. How can I begin to make you understand?
Tentacles of fury spread inside her.
Frankly, I don't care what Ma and Pa say. Go ahead and tattle, but I aim to marry Nat.
Marry him? You're barely 16. Even the way you use his first name with such familiarity shows me this has progressed farther than it should have. You know nothing about the man, and besides, he's way too old for you.
Oh, I get it. Don't think I haven't noticed your four eyes stuck on him. You're just jealous he picked me over you. In fact, he told me your owl eyes.
Jeanette's face crumbled, and a stab of guilt pricked at Lucinda's conscience.
You're so cruel, Jeanette said. You've had boys buzzing around you your whole life. You have no idea.
Her voice cracked.
No idea at all what it's like to be taller than most men and plainer than a barn door.
Tears leaked free from behind her glasses.
Jeanette, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said. You feel you're somehow superior to an ugly old maid like me, don't you?
Jeanette clenched her teeth together in a tight grimace. Her hands formed fists at her side.
Lucinda's stomach clenched. You know how my temper gets the best of me. I don't mean half of what just pops out.
She hated that about herself. Her sharp tongue could cut and slice before her brain caught up.
No, you're not blaming your red hair and the wild tempers of our ancestors. That's just a poor excuse for bad behavior. Ma has done you no favors over the years making light of your mean-spiritedness.
She turned and ran out of the barn. Lucinda flopped down on a stack of hay. Jeanette was right. Lucinda did have a spiteful edge to her, so opposite to her kind sister. Maybe that was why Jeanette got on her nerves. It was as if she inherited all the good, while Lucinda had only a bent for the daring, the bad. The way Nat had touched her had sent a surprising desire racing up her spine. Surely this was how two people in love felt. If anyone could win the title, Mrs. Nathaniel Weitzel, she could. Then her prude big sister could relax.
I said no.
Ma put down the potato she was peeling and shook her finger. Lucinda's eyes flicked to Jeanette, who stood in the background with an I-told-you-so look on her face. You will not see that man again, do I make myself clear? Lucinda's gaze swept around the kitchen, looking anywhere but at Ma. She had no intention of obeying, but she had learned that the best defense was to pretend acceptance until Ma's guard was once again down. Haven't you heard the rumors around town? Ma pressed. He's kissing up a storm and doing a whole lot more with any girl who'll let him. Lucinda's heart lurched. Could Nat really be playing a game? After all, he'd just told her he loved her. And he's a drifter, Ma added. No one has seen him working since he came. That's sure not what your pa or I want for you. What did he do for work? Lucinda had no idea. All she knew was that he was always flashing money around. He seemed to have plenty. He wore nice clothes and lived at the local hotel. Told her he'd made money in the railroad. Ma stepped back, wiping her hands on her apron before picking up the knife to continue peeling her potatoes. I'm sorry to be the one to have to tell you this truth. She pointed the knife in Lucinda's direction. But you've set your attention on the wrong man. Now make yourself useful and help me with these potatoes. Jeanette, don't just stand there, see to setting the table. Lucinda moved beside Ma and grabbed one. I know he's handsome, Ma said. But you can do far better than that, my girl. What about Joseph? He's had his eye on you for years. A solid farmer who's able to provide. Poof! Joseph. He's just a friend. I don't think he sees it that way. But never you mind. The right man will come along. Ma prattled on, and Lucinda closed her ears to the nonsense. Nat loved her, and no one else. Of that, she was sure. It wasn't his fault he was so handsome that girls fell all over him. All she had to do was get a ring on her finger, and the town gossip would stop. She'd take it nice and slow with him, giving no more liberties. Marriage was what she wanted, and she was prepared to reel him in with all the charm and propriety of a refined lady. Then, when he was crazy in love, she'd put on her Sunday best and accept that ride in the woods he kept going on about. He'd fall on his knees and beg for her hand in marriage, unable to live another day without her. Their wedding would be extravagant, and she'd be the envy of every girl in town. Did you hear me? Ma's voice broke through her daydreams. Sure, Ma. She had no idea what Ma had gone on about, but she nodded in agreement. A smile lit across Ma's face, and she leaned in and gave a hug. That's my girl. Lucinda snatched up another potato to peel with a stab of anger shooting through her. Therein lay the problem. Ma still considered her a girl. She was a young woman now, and ready for all the world had to offer. Joseph watched Nat slide into the pew as if he had every right to sit at Lucinda's side. He bent to whisper in her ear, and Nat's familiarity irked him something fierce. Not even a sacred place like church was honored by that reprobate. Joseph was not wrong about Nat. After doing a little investigation, he found the rumors around town were true. Currently, Nat had two girls on the go and was still chasing after Lucinda. Why was she smiling up at him? Surely she knew. Everyone else did. Joseph had loved her for so long now that the ache inside his lonely heart felt as much a part of him as his skin and bone. Why did she seem oblivious to the obvious? Both Joseph's love and Nat's dark side. What hope did his average height and average face have against Nat's tall, dark, and handsome? The sermon started, and Nat, the poser, fell instantly asleep. His head nodded down, occasionally jerking up throughout the service. He awakened when the organ music started. He said something to Lucinda and left before the last song was even finished. What disrespect! An instant desire to slip out his cowboy boot and send the man sprawling came over Joseph as Nat smugly sauntered on by. His thinking was not too Christian, but sometimes a loving response was not what the moment needed. A tightening pulled across Joseph's chest as he watched Lucinda hurry out after the rogue. Joseph swallowed hard against the bile rising in his throat. He slapped on his cowboy hat and headed out the church doors. Nat leaned against their oak tree, the one Joseph and Lucinda used to play under. The first buds of spring were unfurling, as if everything was as it should be. Yet, there Nat stood, all confidence and swagger. He had Lucinda giggling at something. Joseph's fists clenched tight. There was no way a boring farmer like him could compete with that brand of dashing charm. He pulled off his cowboy hat and ran his hand along the back of his neck before slamming the hat back on his head. He took the steps two at a time and crossed the churchyard, not stopping until he stood in the shadows. He was not going to leave until that man was out of sight. Lucinda's pa watched from a distance as well. Jeanette had her glasses pinned on Nat. At least Lucinda wasn't alone. She had people around her who cared. As a longtime friend, he felt he had to warn her of Nat's lack of character before it was too late. Joseph couldn't see Lucinda's face, but he could tell by the way she swayed her dress and tilted her head that she was smitten. Nat was laughing and running his hand down her arm. He leaned in real close, too close. Joseph longed to rip that man's hands off his girl. Didn't Nat know? Didn't she? Lucinda was the only girl he had ever loved or would ever love. When Nat turned away and Jeanette headed Lucinda's way, Joseph breathed out a long breath. All was safe for another day, but he'd have to make time for that conversation with Lucinda, and soon. Joseph, that's not very charitable at all. Lucinda did not like what she was hearing. She turned away to stare out the barn doors into the blue, a beautiful spring day ruined by yet another slice of gossip. Joseph touched her arm and she shook free. She stomped across the wooden planks of the dusty barn, kicking at a clump of hay that got in her way. The mother cat, with her fresh batch of kittens, let out a loud meow at the rain of hay sprinkled in their direction. She needed a moment to settle the angst. Her insides churned at the thought. Nat with another woman? It was no different from what Ma had said. But no, she would not listen. She whirled around to face Joseph. You've never been the type to welcome idle gossip and pass it along. Why start now?
It's not idle gossip. I've done my own poking around, talked to a few of the girls he's been seen with, and they all believe they're his only girl, just like you.
Why would you do that? I thought you were my friend.
I am your friend.
A friend wouldn't try to ruin my life. Lucinda wrung her hands. She wanted to marry Nat, not have yet another person, especially her best friend, tell her he was no good. Joseph let out an exasperated puff of air.
How is telling you the truth ruining your life? If I didn't tell you and you married that rake, I could never live with myself. Nat is bad news.
He's misunderstood, and he's changing, Joseph. Didn't you see him at church on Sunday?
Yeah, I saw him.
Nat took off his cowboy hat and rubbed his brow.
He slept most of the service.
Everyone deserves a little time in finding their way. I never thought you, of all people, would be so ungracious.
Do you know he never had a ma or pa who cared?
The least this town could do is show a little Christian love. But no, everyone is bent on nattering and gossiping. Joseph grabbed the top of the wooden stall door until slivers bit into his flesh.
You just don't get it.
A spike of anger ran up her spine. Her feisty boldness couldn't hold back her frustration any longer.
What don't I get? She stepped close, her hands fisted. You're acting as if you have a right to be jealous, Joseph, when all we've ever been is friends. Go back to what you understand. Your seeds and planting, instead of digging up dirt on poor Nat.
She stomped her foot in the dust billowed.
I don't need another sermon. Best you leave me alone.
His crestfallen expression spoke 1,000 words. There she went again,
using her sharp tongue to hurt someone she loved. She lifted her hand toward him.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
No. I think you meant every word, and I won't bother you again. Our friendship is clearly one-sided.
He spun on the soles of his cowboy boots and walked out.
Chapter 2 3 weeks had passed since Lucinda's meeting with Joseph, and Nat had proved to be nothing but the gentleman she knew he was. The late afternoon light dappled through the overhead trees as Lucinda's horse plodded over the new spring grass. Where was Nat leading her? Deeper into the forest they went. He was so dashing astride his black stallion, and every time he turned a smile at her, a delightful but dangerous spark of desire shot through her bones. Today was the day. She was certain of it.
Here we are.
The forest opened to a verdant meadow sprinkled with spring daisies. The babbling brook in the near distance sang a melody of joy. Her insides flipped in excitement. He'd found the most enchanting place to propose.
Why, Nat, however did you find this place? It's absolutely magical.
She slid from her horse and tethered the reins on a nearby tree branch. With both arms extended, she twirled.
Oh, this is perfect. Our own secret hideaway, she giggled. We can kiss in private without any worry of being interrupted.
Nat's hands circled her waist and slammed her body up against his.
I intend to do a whole lot more than kiss you, baby.
A shiver of fear skittered up her spine. What was that look she saw in his eyes? His lips bore down, opening her mouth to the demand of his. His onslaught and intensity were shocking to her naivety, but she would never let him know. The last thing she wanted was for him to think she was not every bit a grown woman and ready for marriage. Each time they'd had moments alone, his wandering hands had become more comfortable, but she'd been able to keep things respectable. Today, they roamed freely over her body, only this time, with no threat of being interrupted. He was undoing buttons to ensure skin fell upon skin. She pulled back, and he dragged his mouth from hers.
Now, really, Nat, we must keep this for after the wedding.
She hoped her teasing sounded grown up but firm.
Keep that fire a little red. I'll be right back.
He grabbed a rolled blanket attached to the saddle from the back of his tethered horse and spread it upon the lush green grass and plopped down.
Come.
He held out his hand. She tentatively placed her tiny hand in his. He gave a jerk and she fell on top of him. With a flip of their bodies, his 6'6" frame covered hers. When she was pinned beneath his hulk, he whispered,
"Today, you're going to show me just how much you love me. You do love me, don't you?"
"Yes, of course. You know I do, but..."
"No buts. You're a woman now, and it's time you start acting like one."
To control the involuntary widening of her eyes, she squeezed them tight. She didn't want to show her fright, but could not contain the quiver of panic climbing higher in her chest.
"Open your eyes, little Red."
She obeyed. She'd hoped to find love in his gaze, but all tenderness was gone.
"Your innocence excites me."
His voice was gruff and unrecognizable. His lips crushed hers. Before she could think, he lifted her dress from the bottom, removing layers as if he were in a well-rehearsed play. He took his mouth off hers and lifted his head to stare down at her. His eyes were hollowed with darkness. He never took them off her as he ripped at the rounded neckline of her dress. She squeezed her eyes closed. They'd all tried to warn her. Ma, Jeanette, even Joseph. But she'd been so certain of Nat, so wrong. She wouldn't allow this. She couldn't.
"No, Nat, no!"
she screamed, twisting and flailing beneath him.
"Let me go!"
He grabbed both her hands in one of his and held them over her head.
"You can't lead a man on like you have been and not deliver."
Please, please don't do this. I'll please you, all right.
She fought to free her hands, but she was no match for him. She struggled to thrash beneath his crushing weight enough to bring him to his senses, but it seemed to inflame him more. Her terror rose at the sound of a scream. It was silenced as he crushed his mouth against her and took all he wanted. The minute the deed was done, he rolled off her and jumped to his feet. She lay exposed and trembling. Her mind, her dreams, her imaginings had never taken her to this place. She pulled at her dress, covering her chilled body the best she could. Her hands shook as she smoothed them over the wrinkled mess. Painfully and slowly, she stood. It took every bit of strength she had to stop her legs from buckling beneath her. He turned his back and fiddled with the stirrups on his horse.
We should go. Dusk is setting in.
Go home? Like this? How could he speak to her so casually after what he'd done? But when he turned cold eyes on her, fear bristled up her spine. She clutched at her torn neckline. How will I explain this?
Don't you have a shawl? And a little needle and thread when you get back will take care of it. It's all your fault, teasing me for weeks like you have.
There wasn't an ounce of tenderness. Are we going to get married now? Her voice quivered despite her best attempt to remain strong. They had to get married now, didn't they?
Married?
The way he spat out the word made Lucinda cringe. Her head swam with confusion. Her body felt numb.
Don't you love me?
She turned toward him. He sidestepped her and picked up the blanket and rolled it tight. He secured it to the back of the saddle in silence.
After what you just did?
Of course I love you.
He didn't bother to look at her.
We can talk about that another time. We need to get moving before you're missed.
He swung his lithe body into his saddle as if nothing more than a quaint picnic, like he promised, had taken place. She turned toward her horse, grabbed the reins, and pulled her body up. The ache in her arms was nothing to the pain she felt as she settled in the saddle. Everything hurt. With one more look back and a wink in her direction, he cantered off. She followed at a much slower pace. What she had imagined would be a romantic proposal of marriage had been dreadful. Ma and Pa had been right. Nathaniel Weitzel was not the man for her. She would break off the relationship immediately. No one ever needed to know the horror that had just transpired. He charged well ahead and tipped his hat to her at the junction where they'd met. Everything inside of her wanted to scream out her rage, but what good would that do now? He galloped off in the direction of town, and she turned toward the farm. July 1874. The church service was well underway when Nat slid into the pew beside her.
Hello, baby, he whispered in her ear. Do you miss me?
Lucinda ignored him. Ever since that fateful day in the forest back in May, she had kept her distance. She had begged God for forgiveness and promised she would obey her parents and stay clear of Nat, and she had done just that. Spring had turned into summer. The green grass turned gold. Baby robins found their wings. The world went on as if nothing had happened. Yet she knew, God knew, and Nat knew. The more she ignored him, the more aggressive his pursuit. She slid closer to Pa, who poked his head around Lucinda and gave Nat a stern look. Nat's hands went up, though he shook his head in disgust. For the rest of the service, he nodded off beside her. Lucinda's love for socializing and shopping had been curbed by Nat's habit of popping up wherever she went. This was a new form of persistence, showing up in what he mocked as the most boring place on earth, church. She shuddered. How would she get rid of him for good? He kept threatening to tell Ma and Pa and the rest of the town that he deflowered her, so she had to tread carefully. He could easily ruin her reputation. Then she would never find a respectable man to marry, as her older sisters had. She wanted what Catherine and Amelia had— money, community standing, and a happy home with a man who loved her. Was that too much for her to ask? She hoped he would tire of the game and move on to another, but her resistance seemed to have fueled the opposite reaction. They stood for the last song and he leaned in.
"Meet me outside, Little Red."
She used to love that endearment, but now it made her insides roil.
"I've missed you so much."
She wanted to scream that she was not his Little Red. She wanted to demand he leave her alone. But here at church, she could pacify him, and so she nodded. He squeezed her arm and beelined out the door. She waited until others were filing out before standing.
"Do you want me to talk to him?" Pa asked, leaning in close. "Seems the man has a hard time taking no for an answer."
Lucinda shuddered from tip to toe. Pa didn't know the half of it. "I can manage. I'm sure you didn't have your parents poking in on your relationships at my age. Hadn't you already run off with Ma by 16? Pa's face fell. Oh, why had she said that? Why could she not control her tongue?
"I told you the truth about my past to prevent you from making the same mistake. Not that marrying your Ma was a mistake, but the lies, the cover-up. That was wrong."
"I'm sorry, Pa."
"I was only trying to help. But mark my word, there's something wrong with that man. I can feel it in these old bones."
"Have I not done your bidding and stayed clear of him?"
"All right."
Pa rubbed his hand through his thinning hair.
"If you think you can handle this, fine. But by 26, a man should have learned a little more respect when a lady is not interested."
He shook his head. "I'm going to go talk to him, see if I can make him understand, but stay in view. I want him to get the message I'm not alone."
"Of that you can be assured."
Lucinda made her way out of the church and across the yard. Nat looked so handsome leaning against the oak tree, that wide, lazy smile in place. The last thing she wanted was to fall under the spell of his attraction once again. She was well aware of her two warring sides, the one that gravitated toward him and the one that sent out warning bells, reminding her not to flirt, not to encourage a repeat of what had already happened. As if on cue, the church bells rang at the top of the hour. She glanced behind her to the steeple and further into the heavens. She squinted into a shaft of sunlight that broke free of the clouds, as if God were reminding her that he was watching. She both loved and hated the fact that she could never quite erase his presence. She looked back at the smiling man. She had no one to blame but herself for the mess she was in and the power he had over her. When she reached him, she stopped a few feet away. "What is it, Nat?" She clasped her hands together in front of her to hide their tremble.
"Baby, I miss you so much, and I've been thinking. We should get married."
His words tumbled out as he moved in to take her hands in his. She pulled them free and stepped back. "No." His face was the picture of innocence when he asked,
"Why not?"
"You took something from me I did not offer." She kept her voice low, but the words hissed out her anger.
"You look so amazing with that fire in your eyes."
He lifted a hand to her face and grazed his knuckles down one side of her cheek. His touch brought both a spike of desire and a rush of shame.
"I'm so sorry, Lucinda. You've got to believe me. I've never done anything like that before. You overwhelmed me with your beauty."
"You did not look sorry after—"
"But I was. It was my shame at how I couldn't control myself. You can't begin to understand how a man given so much leeway can't just pull away the last minute."
Lucinda's cheeks flushed hot. She should not have snuck off alone with him. Was this truly the way it was for a man?
"I know it was wrong, but I was overtaken with your loveliness. Marry me, Little Red. Let me make this right. You're the only woman for me."
She looked into his soulful black eyes, and the pull of attraction drew her in.
"Lucinda, we're leaving."
Pa's call shook her free of his spell. No. She stepped back and turned.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?